I'm not only excited about seeing you in your ugly Christmas sweater, but I'm also excited this morning because I get to share the stage with someone that I consider to be family. Now, many of you may know her as Jane, but I'm going to introduce her to you this morning as someone that I admire and respect, someone that I love, and I call my mentor. She is Jane Abate. Would you join me in welcoming her on the stage this morning?
So, is this ugly enough?
Well, I hope it's supposed to be ugly. I hope it's not your favorite sweater.
Well, maybe not anymore. Oh, thanks for that.
Yes,
thanks for that, Pastor Major. Thanks. So you might be wondering, what are we doing up here together? And, you know, the last few weeks, Pastor Sean and Pastor Brandon have been teaching us about the importance of leaving a legacy. And Pastor Sean started the Christmas Legacy series off with the story of Mary. And this morning, we're going to continue to watch Mary's legacy unfold, but we have the privilege of witnessing another conception miracle. And that's when Elizabeth becomes pregnant with John the Baptist. Now, you know, Nidra, we know that Elizabeth and Mary were cousins.
Yes.
But they were also different.
Yes.
Kind of like you and me.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I think we have some pretty significant differences.
Yeah, and obvious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some obvious ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I'm white.
I am definitely black, if you haven't been able to figure that out. And I am proud of my age. I am the big 39 years old, and I will be 40 in February, eh? Yes.
And let's just say, my husband Bill said to say, I'm just a little bit past double nickels, if you know what that means. And I was born and raised and lived most of my life in Pittsburgh. In case you don't know, that's the home of the 6-time Super Bowl champions, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my goodness. Settle down. I've moved too many times to count, but I am a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. We are right behind you with 5 Super Bowl rings. Our seats are cushioned, and we're worth more money. But we will just stop there. And I am also a PK. I'm a pastor's daughter, and I've worked in the church most of my career.
And my dad worked in banking, and I was in my career was in business. My entire career was in business. I have 3 cats.
And I am a mom to whom you would call a dog, but he is my son, Gizmo Skyler Butler. Yes, he's my fur baby, and I like to think of myself as having my whole life ahead of me.
And I don't know if I like to think about it this way, but the fact is I have most of my life behind me. So you and I do have some differences.
Yes, we do.
Just like Mary and Elizabeth did. They were different in age, and they had different personal circumstances. But both Mary and Elizabeth were chosen by God to participate in the most unusual and significant births in the New Testament. And as we're going to read in the first chapter of Luke, we'll discover that God doesn't expect us to fulfill our legacy alone.
That's right.
In fact, he puts people with us. Mm-hmm. He even handpicks people mm-hmm. to come alongside us to love and encourage and
That's right.
support us.
That's right.
So let's read in the chapter 1 of Luke, and we're going to read starting with verse 13 through 18 and then verses 24 and 25. And just by way of background, we're coming into the temple where Zechariah, who was a priest, was performing his duties. And we'll read that the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me, to take away my reproach among people." Now, I don't like to admit this, but I have to say that one of the things that stands out to me in this passage is the part where Zechariah points out that Elizabeth is advanced in years. You know, in some translations, it reads that Elizabeth was well stricken in years. Mm-hmm. She was old. Mm-hmm. And in some translations, it says she was very old. You know, I might be overly sensitive, but I'm not sure how to think of myself or how I want other people to talk about me and think about me. AARP calls me a senior citizen, mm-hmm. but, you know, what does that mean to be a senior? Does that mean I'm over the hill? You know, I know I'm not a spring chicken, and I certainly don't fall under the category of young. I like to refer to myself as mature, yeah. and I'm experienced. Like and when I was talking with Mecca not too long ago, she said, "How about seasoned?" Mm-hmm. That might be a good word. I'm seasoned. But I was recently reminded that not everyone sees me that kindly. When I was talking with the little girl who lives in the house next door, she was telling me about her family, and she was talking about her grandma who was really sick. And I happened to ask her, "So how old's your grandma?" And she said, "Oh, she's like really old. I think my mom said she's like 50 or something." You know, I've even looked it up to prepare for today, and there are aging experts, and they've categorized us. So hang on here. So if you're 65 to 74, you're considered young old. But if you're 75 to 84, I hate to tell you, you're old old. And if you're 85 or older, you're the oldest of old.
Oops.
You know, the fact of the matter is Elizabeth was old for her time. She was probably in her 50s or her 60s, maybe even older. And she had never had any children. But God wasn't finished with her. Right. She'd waited a long, long time. But now there was something big God had prepared for her, yeah. bigger than anything in her life. Mm. Elizabeth would be the mother of John the Baptist, as we've come to call him. And as we've just read in the scripture, John would be great. He wasn't just any child. He would turn hearts back to God, and he would announce the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Did you also notice, though, that Elizabeth didn't complain that it was too late? Mm. I looked it up in the God's Word translation, and it says that Elizabeth said, "The Lord has done this for me now." Mm. So, I don't know, I'm so encouraged yeah. that no matter how old we are, mm-hmm. how old I am, whether our kids are grown and our grandchildren don't seem to want to pay any attention to us anymore, our careers are over, maybe we're retired, our friends become few and mm-hmm. far between, or maybe we live alone, that God isn't finished with us yet. Amen. He continues to pour in fresh purpose and That's new right. meaning in our lives. God, like Elizabeth, wants every year of our life to be fulfilling. But here's another thing. Our legacy isn't just about what we do or what we accomplish. God's going to continue to bring people into mm-hmm. our lives, not often from mm-hmm. other generations, but not only younger or mm-hmm. older, mm-hmm. People that we can breathe life into, that we can encourage and support as their legacy unfolds. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think that's pretty spectacular.
I do too. Well, Elizabeth was a great woman, even in her advanced years, even if she was old, she was a great woman. But I want us to take a look at Mary now. Mary was a lot like me. She was young and she had her whole life ahead of her. She was excited about life because here she is engaged to be married to Joseph, and you know, she's just happily in love. And you know how we all get when we're in love and we met the one. You know, we have those hearts in our eyes, those butterflies in our stomachs, and we just love being together. And let me just add that those annoying things that are the one that they do, they're cute at this time, and we just want to hop and skip and just, we want to swing our hands into the sunset. I mean, we're just excited about life. And this is where Mary was. She was excited about life, and she was excited about the life that she and Joseph would soon create. Now, I'm sure that Mary, like many of us, we have a plan. We have this idea of what our life is going to be like. But I am sure that Mary had no idea what was about to happen next for her, that and how her life would soon take a turn. Now, I know that we've read this story and we've heard this story before, but I think it's important for us to read it again because I believe that there are some key things that are in this story about Mary's life that are still relevant for us today. So if you would, we're going to read Luke 1, 28 through 37. And it reads, "And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favorite one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, right here, we see how God is orchestrating this relationship between Mary and Elizabeth. Now, Mary is trying to figure out what kind of greeting this is because the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, says, "Greetings, O favorite one. Do not be afraid." Now, like many of us all do, when someone greets us and starts talking about how great we are, we kind of question, like, okay, what do you want? Why are you saying all this great stuff about me? Because you know they're getting ready to ask something great of you. And "do not be afraid" is like saying, "Don't panic." What are you going to do? You're going to panic. And so Mary was trying to figure out what kind of greeting this is, you know, because, you know, she's trying to figure out what's going on. So Gabriel says, "Greetings, O favorite one, do not be afraid." Now he says, "And you're going to give birth to a son. His name will be Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be the Son of the Most High." Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going to give birth? I'm going to have a baby? I didn't do it. How's that going to happen? I'm a virgin. I didn't do anything. Talking about "do not be afraid." As Pastor Sean shared a few weeks ago, Mary had quite a bit to be afraid of. As a matter of fact, here she is, engaged to be married to Joseph. And this news that she receives, she now has to deliver that news to her soon-to-be husband. Come on, fellas. Tell me how you would feel. Come on, ladies. How would you feel with knowing that you, I heard you, Stanley, this news that you would have to soon give your fiancé? And not to mention, during this time, Mary could face being stoned to death because she was not married and she was having a baby. Afraid. There was a lot for her to be afraid of. And talking about favor, "Greetings, O favored one." Now, for you and I, in hindsight, we're looking at it like, yeah, Mary was favored. She was the mother of Jesus. But to her, in the natural, she didn't feel very favored. Because as a matter of fact, we all know that when she went to tell Joseph this news, he wasn't on the same page with her. I don't think that she felt very favored in that moment. Because, you know, sometimes favor, the favor of God, means that it may cost you the favor of men. That means that even friends, sometimes family, won't be able to comprehend what God is speaking to you. The favor of God means that only you and God can know what is being conceived. Because if you tell anybody else, they wouldn't understand. They would think you were crazy. Only you and God can know that. But you choose to be like Mary, and you choose to trust God and that he knows what he's doing, and that if he said he would do it, he would do it. Because just as the Bible says, for there is nothing impossible with God. And maybe you can relate to Mary, and you know what that impossible feeling feels like. Has God ever revealed something to you about your life that you felt, okay, this is impossible? It seems pretty impossible. There is no way that this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, when you look at it, it would take an act of God. You know that there is no way in your own strength that you can, that this thing can happen. And if you tell anybody, they're going to think you're crazy. That kind of impossible. The impossible that you look at where you are right now and comparison to where God says you're going to be, and you have no idea how you're going to get there. That kind of impossible. That's how Mary felt. It was impossible. Maybe your impossible is, you know, God has put it on my heart to go on a mission trip. And I'm looking at this stack of bills that I have, and I have no idea how I'm going to pay for it. But I know that God put it there, so it must be him. I got to trust God. Or maybe your impossible is, I'm just thinking about the kids. I'm a parent to a terrible two, and I just want to sleep tonight. That's my impossible. Just help me get them to college. Okay? Just, can you see me through that, Lord? Or maybe your impossible is, you're a college student. Just last week, you were trying to figure out how you were going to make it through all these exams that you had. Maybe that's your impossible. Whatever your impossible is, I love verse 36, because just when Mary was thinking of how, like we do when we're facing an impossible situation, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he will overshadow you. And to consider Elizabeth, God lets Mary know in that very moment that Mary doesn't have to do it alone. That not only is he going to be with her, that he has sent someone that will be able to walk with her in that season of the impossible. So if you're going through an impossible situation, you don't have to walk through it alone either. And you know, when we're going through these impossible situations, we're like, God, just send me a sign to keep going. Just do something. Manna from heaven, anything. Give me something big. When our sign, our answer is right beside you or might be in the same room as you. God may be sending a person to help you to fulfill the purpose that he has called for you. Verse 39 says that Mary set out, meaning she made a plan and she hurried to Elizabeth's house. And I don't blame Mary one bit, because that was some pretty big news that Gabriel had just dropped on Mary's lap. And Mary needed someone to help her process. Mary needed someone who would be able to understand what she was going through, because like Jane already mentioned, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant herself.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think Mary must have been shocked and mm-hmm. scared to death. And the angel knew that. God knew that. And he understood her feelings. And so he told her about Elizabeth, the one person who could verify that it was possible for God mm-hmm. to make miracles happen. A conception miracle. I mean, after all, Elizabeth had been barren, mm-hmm. and the angel promised Zechariah and Elizabeth that they would conceive, and they did. Can you imagine when Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house and she sees the fulfillment of the miracle God promised Zechariah and Mary? How encouraged she must have been. You know, and there was even more to that. Mm-hmm. We had read earlier that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous. Mm-hmm. And so God didn't send Mary to just anyone. He sent her to a righteous, godly woman, a woman with a warm and loving heart. And we see Elizabeth's heart from the moment that she sees Mary come to her. So let's continue to read out of chapter 1 in Luke. We're going to pick up with verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. I'd like to think that if I was Elizabeth and my cousin came to my home young and unwed and pregnant, mm-hmm. that I would respond that way. But I'm not so sure I would have. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that I wouldn't have looked at Elizabeth and thought, oh man, this is a big deal. This is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And I better figure out a way to fix this. But that wasn't how Elizabeth greeted That's right. and received Mary. Elizabeth didn't see Mary as a problem, something that needed to be fixed, mm-hmm. a problem to be solved. No, Elizabeth saw Mary for who she was, the blessed daughter of God. Amen. She saw Mary as the blessed mother of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. God had pointed Mary to Elizabeth because she knew that Elizabeth would receive her with that love and that encouragement, mm-hmm. the kind that she would need so early on if she was fulfilling that legacy. You know, Anidra, when Bill and I moved to Richmond a few years ago, we both thought that we were planning to retire. Hmm. And we weren't sure what's in store for those of you that, you know, might be in retirement or remember going into retirement. You're not sure what's ahead. Mm-hmm. And it was a new town, a new city for us. And we started coming to Cornerstone, and I was greeted like Elizabeth was greeted. And I'll never forget, I don't know if Karen's here, but Karen, week after week, would welcome me yeah. and ask me questions, not grilling me, but just welcoming me into the church. And then I met Carolyn, and she did the same. I know she's here, and just made me feel so welcome. And then as time passed, as I met more and more women, eventually I met Pat, and Pat invited me to be part of her small group. Yeah. And every week with Pat and Mecca and Joe and Paula and Shirley and Kathy, we share life together.
Yeah.
And they're helping me through this transition of what it means to be older and tired and to deal with some of the issues and problems that are going on in my life. And I am so grateful for you all for that. And what I've come to understand, though, is that that's not unusual. There's yeah. a legacy at Cornerstone
yeah.
about people coming alongside one another mm-hmm. to offer that kind of love and encouragement and support. And it's not just older women with older women. I've been blessed by Hannah and you, Pastor Anidra, and so many other women that I see in the church today that, you know, we're sharing life together mm-hmm. and supporting one another as we fulfill our legacy. And that's what I hope to be for you, Pastor Anidra. I know I'm not your only one, and I'm certainly not your most important mentor or coach or whatever you want to call me. Yeah. I know that God has amazing purpose for you and that your legacy, it's unfolding before our very yeah. eyes. Yeah. And He's equipped you with skills and capabilities that are just amazing. And I'm just so glad to know that you don't see me as too old.
Nope, not at all.
Or irrelevant to be meaningful in your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just proud to be doing life with you.
Yeah. Do you see why I chose her to be my mentor? I mean, she says such great things about me. And it's like,
I mean them. I do.
Man, I just love it. But the beauty of our relationship and the beauty of a mentoring relationship is that just as Jane is leaving a legacy in me, she's a part of helping me to create the legacy that I will leave in others. And I am grateful to Jane, as I'm sure that Mary was very grateful to Elizabeth. And it's one other thing that I think is very special about Mary and Elizabeth's relationship is that, remember that Mary and Joseph, they had a family issue going on. I would say a pretty big issue going on. Here it is, Mary has heard from the Lord about what, you know, that something that could affect their family, and Joseph is not on the same page right away. And it was very easy, it would have been very easy for Mary to try to escape from that, but she didn't. So Elizabeth was not an escape for Mary. She was a support. She was a mentor. And see, I think we need to model Mary's example, because just like when we go through different family issues or relationship issues with friends or whatever it may be, we tend to withdraw. We tend to isolate ourselves, and we just want to just wallow in that issue. And God wants us to do the exact opposite. He wants us to do just like Mary did, and he wants us to choose somebody to walk with. Not to isolate ourselves, but choose someone that can walk with us in that season. And it's important to note that Mary didn't just pick anybody. Mary chose the one that God had handpicked for her in that season. And that's what we must do. Elizabeth was a mentor in the sense that she provided a place of safety. She poured into Mary and provided shelter for her. She was willing to help. She was understanding. And what I think is so important is they share the same faith. When you're choosing to walk with somebody, they got to believe in what you believe in. They got to be going the same places you want to go. You need to share the same faith like Mary and Elizabeth. And the other thing that it's important to note is that Elizabeth was 6 months further along in the process. It didn't say that she was 9 months and that she had the baby. A lot of times we think that we can't lend a helping hand to somebody because we're not all the way through the process. She wasn't all the way through, but she was able to still provide wisdom and encouragement to Mary, even though she was still walking through the same season. So you can do that too. I was Mary in the sense that God had revealed to me that I had a great purpose. And I knew that my heart's desire is to be a person of influence and to be a great leader. And I know that God has great things in store for me, and I want it to be everything that God has created and destined me to be. So I turned to someone who I think has lots of leadership experience, someone who coaches leaders. I didn't care about my title of being a pastor. I'm a mom. I work full-time. I'm a wife. I'm busy. And I had all these things that were coming up in my mind to tell me that I didn't have the time to do this, that I didn't have the time for a mentoring relationship. But I knew that if I wanted to grow and if I wanted to be the person that God has created me to be, I had to make myself available. And I needed someone to help me along the way to get to this place where I knew that God wanted me to be. Now, as Jane already said, I have a lot of great people in my life. I have Pastor Sean. I have my dad. He's a pastor. I have my husband. I always bounce stuff off of him. I have people here. I mean, I call her my mom away from home, Sabrina Gissendan. I mean, I have all of you that speak into my life. But when I met Jane, it was as if God has said in that moment, Anidra, here's another person that can give you, that can invest into you and to give you wisdom, another person that can speak into your life. And so when Jane and I began to meet, we met immediately, we began to talk, and Jane began to ask me, so Anidra, what is it that God is, what is God saying? What do you want? And for a minute, I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't have all the pieces together. But it was when it was almost as if something had clicked. She just kept asking me that question. And God began to bring back visions and dreams and prophecies that were spoken over Wendell and myself. And I began to share those things with her, and she began to get excited just as much as I was excited. And her response to that was, she didn't think it was crazy or far-fetched. She was excited, and she said, you know what, Anidra, I'm going to help you get there. And what a relief for me that I didn't have to try to figure it out all on my own, that I had someone with wisdom and experience that could help me get closer to the purpose that God had for me. Just as Elizabeth did for Mary, since our first meeting, Jane has invested in me. She has pushed me toward my purpose. She's provided a place where I feel safe. She's someone who understands, someone that I can trust, and she provides wisdom. She's a little bit further along in years, not much.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I truly do appreciate her and all that she adds to our relationship.
And we're talking about this not because it's about us mm-hmm. as much as it is about you mm-hmm. and what's possible for you too. You know, Bill and I came to Cornerstone and we thought we were going to retire, and my coaching and mentoring days were over. But then I meet Pastor Anidra and Pastor Sean and Pastor Brandon, and new opportunities opened up for me. A few Sundays ago, Pastor Brandon challenged every one of us when he said, "This generation will not be changed unless a whole community is willing to invest in them. Pick someone." So that's my challenge for you. Who has God sent you to encourage, to support, to love? And as mentors or coaches, whatever we want to call ourselves, we have to make ourselves available and be willing to invest in others. And I'm not just talking about us olders investing in the youngers. We olders need you youngers to invest in us too, to keep us relevant, to show us the way it is now, and for some of us, to help keep us employed, quite frankly.
And, you know, as you can see from Elizabeth and Mary's relationship and my relationship and Jane's relationship, there are so many benefits to a mentoring relationship. You know, as I was thinking about, you know, just our relationship and the thought of mentoring, you know, we think that the mentee is the only one who benefits, but it's something that everybody receives in the relationship. I get to pour into Jane's life, and I see the blessing and the joy that I am to her just as much as she is a blessing and a joy to me. And God has a purpose for you and for me. And there is someone that he has handpicked for us, for you, to help you, to take you to that next level. Who is it that you need to approach? Or maybe it's you can identify with Mary and Joseph. Maybe you're facing a relationship issue, or there is some tension between a family issue going on. I'm not sure what that is. And you see that, Anidra, that's me. I've been isolating myself and I've been withdrawing instead of choosing someone to walk with me through that season. Well, who is it that you need to choose to walk with you? As Pastor Sean said a few weeks ago, choose courage. Choose courage. We have all of these things, all of these titles that we are. We're mom, we work full-time, maybe we're manager, supervisor, whatever it may be. We have all these things that could potentially prevent us from growing and being all that God has created us to be. But I love it how the Bible said that Mary made a plan, that she set out, that she made a plan. And I think that that's what we need to do today as well. If you don't have a person that you're walking with, you need to make a decision, make a plan, that you're going to choose to walk with somebody, that you're not going to do this alone, that God has handpicked somebody for you to walk with you in this season. Maybe it's a season of the impossible for you, or maybe it's just a season of isolation. Whatever it is, make a plan and make a decision today that you're going to choose courage, no matter what the titles that you have, and you're going to make a decision and you're going to choose to walk with somebody today.
And I have a couple ideas about how you might get started. Coming to church is a big part of it, and getting to know people. And then what if this is the season for you to lead a small group? And our new small group season will be coming up, and Pastor Brandon will be offering training for that. Maybe it's time for you to lead a small group.
Or if you're saying, today I want to be, maybe you're seeing the benefits that I receive from being a mentee. And maybe you're saying, well, I want to be mentored. I want to mentor. Well, maybe it's time for you to jump in a small group if you're not in one. We have so many leaders that are mentors already. And your Elizabeth may be in your small group. And this is not just for women. It's not just a woman-to-woman relationship. There could be a man, an older man, a younger man that God has handpicked for you to walk with, and that he has chosen to mentor you in this season. Maybe that mentor, maybe that man, maybe that woman is in your small group. So it's time for you to get in a small group. Whether you're saying you want to mentor or you want to be mentor, you want to mentor or you want to be mentored. Wait, you want to be mentored or you want to mentor.
Yeah.
Either way, whatever role you want to play.
You got it.
Whatever you want. We want to encourage you this morning to take that next step. We want to challenge you to take that next step. On the back of your connection card, there is a space where if you want to be a mentor, there is a place where you can check, sign me up for the next small group leadership training. Or maybe if you want to be mentored and you don't, there are lots of small groups that we offer here at church. Maybe you can just say, check, help me find my small group. Help me find, get into a small group and get into a group of leaders that can mentor me and help me reach my that next level and reach my purpose. Or maybe you're like Joseph and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, like I said, and you're engaged to be married and you want to be mentored as far as you're before you're married. We have marriage mentoring for you. Or maybe you're already married and you're like, that's the area that I need mentoring. You can check that as well. Our marriage mentors, they help you with premarital or married, whatever season you're in, they have something to help you and to mentor you and to invest in you, to give you that wisdom that you need to get to that next level. No matter where you are, as you can see, as we repeat it over and over again today, choose someone to walk with. Pastor Brandon is going to come and he's going to lead us in a worship song this morning. And I want to take this moment to invite our mentors that are already here in this room. And that's our elders and our deacons. And we've invited even some of our small group leaders. If we've asked them to come and pray this morning, if they would come forward this morning as we sing the song, all of our elders and our deacons and some of our small group leaders that we asked to pray, would you come forward at this time? Jay and Grandin and Carolyn, Pat, yes, if you would come forward at this time. I'm not sure if I see anybody else here. Jacob and Lauren, if you would come. These are the mentors that are already here in our church. And whether you're saying today, whether you want to be a mentor or you want to be mentored, whatever that may be, we want to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you're just saying, you know what? The first place I need to start is I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. And if you want to make that decision, our leaders are here to pray with you for that as well. But if you want to reap the benefits of a mentoring relationship, the relationship that God calls all of us to be in, to choose somebody to walk with, we want to pray with you today, no matter what it is. So if you would just stand this morning, and that if that's you, or maybe you just want to be prayed for this morning, we want to invite you to come as Pastor Brandon leads us in this worship song this morning.